Appreciate everybody coming. Exciting day. Want to introduce Brian Fleury as our new offensive coordinator. Know we're gonna be curious on how you know everything came about, but I think the mentality going into the whole process was, hey, let's stick to our process. We had some really great, talented coaches in house that we talked to, and all those guys did a phenomenal job. Brian's someone that I've known about for a while, and we have some common relationships that we share, you know, kind of throughout throughout the coaching ranks. So I knew about Brian. I knew he was a great coach. And then we had an opportunity to talk to him, and he just did a phenomenal job. I think his vision for what he believes in offensively and as with a football team was aligned with how we wanted to, and just hit the principles and philosophy on how he goes about his business and how he coaches and what he wants from our offense. He took it straight out of our culture graphic. So a lot of alignment, and it gave us an opportunity to have some great continuity and keep some great coaches as well, and let us take our offense to the next level. So we're really excited about it. We're off and running right now, trying to finalize our staff, and excited to start our process.
Mike, where did you see that alignment? In what ways do you feel like you guys were aligned?
Well, all the things we've talked about throughout the season in terms of connectivity, attention to detail, like the chasing edges type of mentality. He didn't use those words verbatim, but he might as well have, you know, just how we want to run off the football. I mean, tactically, there's a lot of similarities as well, but just how we do business, and it felt like he would be a great partner to work with.
Ryan, what does this opportunity mean for you? You've been around football for a long time.
Yeah, it means a lot. Before I get to the question, though, I just want to take an opportunity to really, thank the York family and the San Francisco 49ers organization for 7 great years. That's a long time for us. My family and I have never been anywhere that long, and we have a lot of like lifelong memories and experiences from that, both inside and outside of football. And I also want to thank Kyle Shanahan for the opportunities he gave me in the building to take ownership of new roles and develop me to the point where, you know, I'm sitting here today. And so now to answer the question, the opportunity means a lot. I mean, I think there's only 13 of these, you know, non-head coach play calling jobs on the planet, and so to be considered one was an honor, and now to be standing here or sitting here next to Mike, I can't really express it any better than that.
You did spend a little time with Clint Kubiak. In what ways did that influence your philosophy, if at all?
I would say both of us were more influenced by Kyle than anything else. Clint's a good friend and a great football coach, and right away we bonded over similar views of football and how we see the game, what we think is important. So I wouldn't say he was as much of an influence as a good friend and colleague.
Mike talked a little bit about what he saw in the alignment with both of you, but what does a Brian Fleury offense look like?
It looks very similar to the one that just won the Super Bowl. It's more about how you play than what you actually are doing schematically. We're going to be fast and violent and aggressive in every way that we possibly can, put pressure on defenses, both schematically and from a tempo standpoint, and just always have that type of mindset.
You started your NFL coaching career on the defensive side of the football, and you mentioned all the different roles that you've had over the years. But how has that prepared you for this opportunity to be a first-time play caller in the NFL?
It's prepared me in a lot of different ways. You know, I've been fortunate to, you know, share a staff room and game plan with a lot of people that I'm going to be facing off against. I know on this schedule, Jerontae Jones for sure, but Lou Anarumo I shared a staff room with, Terrell Williams, Matt Burke, Vance Joseph, D'Amico Ryans, Robert Sala, Aaron Glenn, Jeff Hafley, Anthony Weaver, Brian Duker. So, you know, I have a lot of insight into some of what the opponent is going to be doing in those cases.
Mike, you said there was maybe some shared relationships you guys had or people you knew. Anybody really stood out that was a big piece?
Brian just mentioned Brian Duker's mutual friend, Anthony Weaver, obviously we worked together. Those are guys that have been singing his praises for a while, all the way back to Baltimore.
is the story true, Brian, that during the Super Bowl a while ago, you were sent up to bed after Washington was down 10-0, and you stayed at the top of the steps as they scored 35 points?
A lot of research. That was a true story. Yeah, I was, I think, 7 years old. I grew up a Commanders fan because they were the only team in town. And after the first quarter, it was 10-0. My mom told me to go to bed, and I sat there and listened to the second quarter where Doug Williams scored 35 points from the top of the stairs. Yeah, that's true.
It's impressive, Brian.
Right, play calling experience, how much do you have at varying levels of your career?
So I've called defense and special teams both at the collegiate level. Have not called offensive plays, but have always been preparing to. The thing about offensive play calling to me is the preparation is done ahead of time. You're thinking through the situations and putting plays in a list format of, you know, when you get to second and one inside the 30-yard line, what are you going to call? And so the preparation aspect of it I've already done, and now it's just a matter of, like, analyzing the information in real time and getting to the right play call on the sheet.
Some people might find it daunting to take over an offense that set a franchise record for points and just won a Super Bowl. How do you kind of balance embracing what worked, but also making sure you're true to your philosophy and how you want to run things?
I do think one of the advantages of taking this job is there is going to be a lot of continuity. I've already started to dive into everything that Clint was doing here last year, and the goal would be to maintain as much of that as possible, but there's also areas where we can supplement that with things that we've developed and done in San Francisco under Kyle that, you know, Clint wasn't there for or maybe didn't implement as much. So it's that's going to be the goal, is to keep as much as we can the same, but I think there's definitely areas we can grow, some different ways we can challenge the players that they should be looking forward to when they get back here.
Ryan, what elements make a good red zone offense?
To me, the people that can run it in the end zone have the most success. So having the dynamic run game down there and a different ways to attack people more horizontally than vertically, just because the field's wider than it is shorter down there. And just doing stuff that's quarterback friendly. It's really just an execution area.
Ryan, you got to see this offense from the other side a handful of times this year. What stood out to you seeing it kind of in action with the guys that they have here and everything?
The biggest thing is that John and Mike have built a great roster. There's a lot of really good talented players here. And, Clint did a great job of putting them all in a position to showcase their strengths and minimize, you know, exposing their weaknesses. And so that's something I hope to continue.
Complementary football has been used quite a bit. What's the benefit of having the defense that we have? And as you kind of scheme up the offense and that complementary stuff?
Yeah, it means training camp's going to be tough, but it definitely is great to have that element, you know, on that side of the ball to protect them. Complementary football means protecting each other in a lot of ways. If we can keep them off the field as much as possible, that allows them to be even better and fresher when they're on there. And then obviously, you know, there will be some times where maybe we're going through some difficulties offensively, and having the defense of this caliber can help weather the storm.
As a defensive coach in your past, do you ever just watch some of the things that Mike has drawn up, and instead of looking at the offensive side, you're too busy looking at what he schemed up?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we played each other a bunch, and being in the division, there's a lot of crossover film. So I've seen a lot of what he's doing and have been impressed from afar for a while.
Guys from this offense, Rashid Shaheed, Ken Walker, who are currently free agents, if they're listening and trying to learn what this new offensive coordinator is going to be like, what would you tell them?
I think they're going to be very happy with the continuity that would exist here. Obviously, they're coming off a very significant year. Rashid obviously got here midway through the season, but had an impact right away. And then, you know, Kenneth, obviously, Super Bowl MVP. I can't dive too much into, you know, that because of the contract situation, but you know, I would love the opportunity to work with either one of them.
Brian, going back to your defensive background, do you think that shapes at all, like, your approach to offense and how you structure things and how you call it?
Yeah, it 100% does. I was fortunate to work in a bunch of different styles of defense. So it makes it easier for me, I think, to diagnose how the defense is operating, how they're built, you know, where the coverage structure is and how it works with the fronts. And, you know, what that allows me to do is probably quicker than maybe some other people get to ways to unlock that. Both formationally and then structurally, and again, put pressure on them to create conflicts.
You guys have overlap with John Benton as well as Sam Darnold. Anyone else you had overlap with, and what does that benefit you coming in?
Eric Saubert, I coached him. I was his position coach for a year. And it just, you know, gave me some insight into, you know, my conversations with them before accepting the job were more just about the building and the quality of people and the culture here. And all of them had nothing but great things to say. So it just reinforced everything I kind of already thought from the outside and was excited to be a part of.
Brian, your 3 years with Miami. What did you do during that, and how did that kind of change your career or help your career?
Yeah, it was an interesting time because, I'd just come off of coaching the outside linebackers in Cleveland and, you know, wanted to coach. I do love the educational aspect of it, the teaching, the relationships you have with the guys. And my role in Miami kind of took me outside of that role. It was more of a, you know, an analytics role, just studying league trends, game management, philosophy, that sort of stuff. Mike Tannenbaum was really kind of my supervisor at the time, and he just said, do whatever you can do to make us better. And So I had a lot of free time to study things. And, you know, when you're a position coach, you get kind of lost in the day-to-day, like, details and minutia of, like, making sure those players are right. Like, you obsess over it all the time. And being freed up from that really kind of allowed me to develop my own philosophy of how I would handle certain things. So at the time, I was a little bit frustrated because I wasn't, you know, dealing with players directly. But in hindsight, it probably was one of the most valuable three-year periods in my life just from a development standpoint.
What excites you most about the current group that you guys have on offense right now?
I mean, like I said earlier, it's just the way the roster is built. There's a lot of talent. There's not many things to fix, quite honestly. Like, they already play a way that's visible on the silent tape. You can see, you know, the culture on the film. And so I'm excited to just work with that and continue to build it.
And then Sam Darnold, was there an overlap when you were at 49ers? What relationship do you have with him?
Yeah, Sam and I was the tight end coach and run game coordinator there. He was the quarterback. So we talked a little bit in terms of the game plan. Sam's a great human being, and I loved sharing the workspace with him. We have a good relationship, and I'm excited to, like, help it grow and make it better.
When you said you could see the culture on the tape, what does that look like? How could you tell?
I mean, it's violent. It's finishing. It's hard to describe, but you know it when you see it. That's for sure. It's just people playing at a different level than everybody else.
When you're evaluating a coach who has not an extensive play calling background, how do you kind of evaluate that aspect of a decision like this?
Going into it, I do think it's a bit overrated. Somebody at some point, all play callers have to be first time play callers at some point. You could tell how, like, Brian thinks about the game. Look, you're gonna have to grow in any new role, but we have a lot of great people around here and a lot of great opportunities for him to get ready to go. And I'm really confident he's going to be off and running sooner than later. So, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a fun process to build this thing.
Can you shed a little more light for people that don't understand what a run game coordinator, pass game coordinator, and other folks do to help contribute to the game plan and the plays that get implemented?
Well, titles sometimes get, you know, titles get thrown around all the time. So it's really, to me, it's how can we structure our staff and the roles and responsibilities that we can kind of dish out throughout the course of the week to generate, one, the best ideas for our players and help them put in position to win games. But it does let them specialize in that area of the game that they can do a great job, like diagnosing how teams operate and, you know, defensive mechanics, things like that. And ultimately, it's really just there to serve Brian and whoever's calling the plays, and make sure we come up with the best plan. But it does take on a different life based off of, you know, the dynamics of each staff, the titles of with Rick and Jake last year and their titles and their roles. That's going to look different this year, just because it's a new staff and new people.
Mike, X's and O's aside, what did you learn about Brian just as a leader?
Well, I feel like he has great command. He has great communication skills. There's a clarity in how he sees the game and what he expects. I think our players are going to really appreciate that. You know, like, we talk about clarity a lot and being decisive. And so I'm very confident that what we're going to be asking our players to do is going to be very clear to them. And based on his relationships with his players in the past, and, you know, we have a great resource here in Eric Saubert about how he treats his players and how they goes about his business every day. He felt like he was one of us, you know, so I'm really excited for him to lead our offense.
You said before that, like, on game days, because you're calling defensive plays and that's your focus, you don't really talk to Sam and the offense a whole lot. I'm curious, does that setup impact the kind of leader that you want in your offensive coordinator, like, again, scheme aside?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, not just on game days, but really every day at some point in the day we're going in opposite directions and we're with defense and they're leading the offense, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited about Brian. I can't wait to hear what happened that day, like the things that we came up with, where we took stuff, how we coached it. I mean, all that type of stuff. Like, I'm excited to see how he takes it and how it operates. So it's definitely part of the decision.
Brian, do you know if you have a preference between calling a game from the booth or on the field? Or is that something you'll still figure out?
My vision would be to call it from the field, but I would like to do both in the preseason. There's just something to be said for having face-to-face conversations with, you know, every position group. And I also think that it's important, if you have things in mind and you're anticipating calling stuff, to preview it with those groups. And That's something I would like to be able to do in person, which that would be the disadvantage from calling it from the booth. I've spent a number of games up there, and I do think it, like, you know, the taking some of the sensory out of it, like, helps and calms things from as a play caller standpoint. But I think ultimately I'll end up wanting to do it from the field for those reasons.
How much does it help having coaches retained on staff that have had been past game coordinators or run game coordinators that can be in that role upstairs while you have the in-person one-on-one opportunities down in the sideline?
Yeah, I mean, like Mike said, the titles aren't really relevant. It's just that, you know, they've assembled a staff of a lot of quality coaches. It's not just people that have the coordinator title or those experiences. There's a lot of good coaches here that I think are going to be able to help keep us on track and in the right direction in a number of different ways. You know, it's having a really good, cohesive, intelligent, like, staff is huge, and I think that's really what we've assembled here.
Mike, you did have some in-house guys you took a look at here as a part of this. What ultimately made you decide that, you know, Brian was the guy you need to go with, and, you know, despite we have the relationship with these guys near us here, this is the direction that's clearly kind of blinking at us that we need to go with?
Well, I think I talked about it earlier, but I think it's as simple as just going through your process. I mean, you want to keep it as, like, the continuity is really important. I think we were able to do that still with hiring Brian. But look, this is still year three for me, and so you like, it's all about the process. You know, you want to be disciplined to that, and have respect for all the layers of it and all the steps. And I felt like we did that, and it became clear that this was the best decision and best way to go, you know, as we finished it up.
Do you guys believe that your quarterback coach is already in the building, or are you looking externally for that as well?
I'll just say, like, with our staff, there's some moving parts that we're working through right now, and who's going to coach the quarterback is part of those conversations.
Coach, you talk about this as you're now going into your third year, and you've already dealt with so much change. And, of course, there's yesterday about ownership's sale process has begun. How do you navigate through all that change, knowing this is only your third year as the head coach?
Well, I actually think it's a little bit counterintuitive. I don't think really much changes for us at this point. So, obviously, that's going on, and we'll work through it. But as of right now, really nothing changes for what we do day to day.
Brian, what kind of quarterback were you?
Not a very good one. I had some success in high school and then went to college, and it was pretty clear early on that coaching was in my future more so than playing.
Stylistically, what was your stuff?
I'm not very fast or agile. I'm was a pocket passer for sure.
When did you realize you wanted to become a coach, and who kind of pushed you that direction?
I realized I wanted to be a coach. It was, you know, kind of an interesting experience in college. You know, I had an opportunity to compete for the job spring with 2 years left of eligibility and ended up getting injured. A younger player won the job, and I never really got a chance to compete for it again. But immediately I was asked to go out there and coach him and stand in the huddle with him and, like, mentor him. And so really that experience is kind of what nudged me over the edge. I come from a coaching family. You know, I was raised in large part by my stepfather, who's a very successful high school coach. And so, I mean, it was always there, but I had some, you know, confusion about which direction I should be going, and then that kind of pushed it over the edge.
Was he a high school coach in the Maryland area?
Yeah.
You come from an offense, at least recently, that used a fullback, had a running back that was heavily involved in the passing game as well. Do you expect those to be parts of your philosophy here?
I mean, they're certainly on the menu. It really, to me, the scheme should be reflective of the players and the roster that you're going into the game with, not even just the season, but the game. And so those elements are certainly there, and hopefully teams will have to prepare for them. But it's really, you know, just kind of about getting on the grass with these guys and seeing what the best possible combination of skill sets is for us to win games, and then we'll build the plan and the scheme around that part of it.
There's been a trend in the NFL this year, especially about 12, 13 personnel getting more tight ends out there trying to affect what the defense is going to match. With your tight end background, you know, where is your philosophy related to that?
I love the ability to use different personnel groups. And again, it's really just more matchup driven, and it can be more game to game. It's, you know, putting the best possible product out on the field to figure out what our winning formula is for that week.
Brian, what else? I'm curious, you're 11 days removed from the ultimate achievement in sports. Are you still riding that high, or are you right back to business mode?
It's humbling to be back at your desk the day after the parade working on our team. So that's where we're at right now. But it's been a great process, and at some point there'll be a time to get away, but that time is not now.
Daniel Stern, you mentioned moving parts. Is that one of them? Or do you know what role he's going
to play? Yeah, Daniel's here. I think his role is going to evolve as we go. He's going to be a really significant part of our offensive staff, as well as helping me with, like, program-wise, bounce some ideas off of Brian. So he's kind of have his hand in everything, and, you know, I'm sure it'll evolve from there. But we're really excited to have him.
And Zachary Orr, what will his role be here?
Zach's going to coach our linebackers. Yeah, it's great. Again, Zach and I have had a relationship for a long time. Came in the NFL the same year, so we've known each other since 2014. Just everything he's about as a coach, and just was an opportunity to add to our staff. It's kind of like we see the coaching staff very similar to like what we talk about with the 70. It's just how can we get the best, most talented Seahawks style coaches in it, and we'll figure out the roles as we go and become aligned and do all that. And our coaching staff has been great with that, and we're excited to have these guys as a part of it now.
Yeah, so Kirk Alabadati is kind of staying on staff.
Yeah, Kirk's staying with us, and we got a great role for him, and it's gonna be awesome.
And Brian, besides the culture the Seahawks have built, what else about this area stands out to you and just what football means here?
Yeah, it's an exciting place to play. It's one of my favorite venues, of course, in the NFL. Like, that part of it's really exciting. And I've had the opportunity to play here every year for the last 7 years and then a couple times before that. And it's a really fascinating and exciting part of the country to me. I'm excited to immerse myself in it over these next few weeks and months.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
All right, great. Thank you.
Congrats.